Turn to John.
Chapter 3. This probably, I don't know. There might be another one, but this is one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. It's all about God giving us eternal life. In the Greek language in which the New Testament is written, it's aionios, eternal. And zoein is life. So life eternal. Zoein aionios. Aionios doesn't just mean you keep living. It means that it endures forever and ever and it never stops. It's kind of like without end. Whereas all of us are born naturally with bios. We have not zoe, which is eternal life, but we have bios. Bios means that you perish. When this world perishes, you perish. So our whole faith is a dangerous idea, but our whole faith is that we're no longer part of this world in terms of life and death. That let me say it a different way. Your origin, wherever you come from, that determines your destiny. So if you have an origin of being born here, you die here. But if you change your origin, which you're allowed to do, which I'm going to talk about, if you change your origin, then you change your destiny. You change your whole purpose, your whole meaning. Now, that's the one thing science knows nothing of, is where you came from, where you're going, and why you're here. Science doesn't answer those kind of questions. But those are human questions, is who am I? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What's my purpose? And those are existential questions, but they're answered essentially. That is, you have to make your own decision. You have to decide who you are and who you want to be. You exist, but you have to decide, who do I want to be? Do I want to be a good guy, a bad guy? Do I want to be, selfish or nice, and so on and so forth. So those are decisions that we make, and there's nothing else in creation that makes decisions like that. Animals operate by biological determinism, that is, they're instinctual, and they're not really making decisions like we do. They don't decide, I think today I'll be a frog if you were a turtle. They don't make those kind of decisions. So animals just do what they do, no matter how much we think dogs are real. Amen. They're just like us. He loves me. I don't think so. But anyway, people treat them that way. I have a cat.
That's different.
Yeah. I would say that cat loves me, totally loves me, because I feed it. And if I don't, it's gone. It just takes off. All right. Anyway, flowers and all those things, they don't make decisions. I think I'll go to the front of the house. They don't do that. Rocks, they don't just get up and walk away. So people are weird. People are strange. People are different to anything else in creation. So the evolutionary idea is nonsense, that somehow man is like an animal or a sponge or something or other. The idea is that, according to the Bible, the idea is that we were born Betzalem nu. Betzalem nu. Betzalem nu means we were created in the image of God. And the nu on the end of tzalem nu is that we were born in the likeness ours. The nu on the end indicates God is saying our. Let us create man in our image. In other words, nothing else is created in the image of God. You look like God. Someday when you see him face to face, you'll recognize, oh, yeah, he looks like me. Rather than he looks like a rock or a frog or a cloud or something else. So nothing in all creation. Then it says, kedemutnu. And in our likeness, or it isn't really and, it's more you're in the image of God according to our likeness. Let's create man according to our image so he looks like us, but also let him be like us. That's the way any parent is. The parent not only wants the child to look like you, but to actually to act like you, especially God. And so God wants us to behave ourselves the way he says. But our religion is different than moral people, nice people, good people, and so on. We don't believe in any of that. We don't believe in that.
Amen.
Now, I know most Christians do, but they're wrong. God does not want you to behave. I'm going to say it again because it's weird.
Amen.
But God doesn't want you to behave, and thank God none of you do. So, you know, he doesn't want that. It's the only religion like that. All the other religions are weird because they want you to behave. Muslims, if you don't behave, do what they say, chop your head off and so on. We don't do that because we don't believe behaving has anything to do with anything.
Right.
Now, I know it doesn't sound right, but nevertheless, it's right. Now, I'm going to prove it to you today. So we don't teach be good. We teach that God is good, and that's it. God is good, and that's it. So either that's true or false. And everybody gets to decide. Everybody make your own decision. If you think you're good, go for it. I don't think so. Having been here, you know, a few years, I've noticed that most of you are no good.
Yeah.
In other words, you're not reliable. You're only reliable to an extent. But God doesn't depend on anything that you do or don't do. You don't go to heaven or go to hell because of your behavior. You go because of your faith. You either believe God is good or you don't. Now, if he's good, what would constitute good would be that he gives you gifts rather than makes you work. How many know that work is like labor? It's like you got to behave and you got to always think and you got to waste a lot of time figuring what would Jesus do or what am I supposed to do or what should I say here and so on and so forth. And so I'm not good at that. I tire quickly of behaving.
Yeah.
And I don't think laziness is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but I've got it. Does anybody else have that gift?
Yes.
You know, where lazy seems okay to be. You know, let Jesus die for me. Let Jesus do all this stuff. Good for him. So I'm okay with Jesus doing everything. And I just don't believe that I'm capable of loving or caring or anything else. So if you catch me doing that, you know it's a miracle. It was not me.
Yeah.
When I got married, I did not love my wife. I didn't care one flip for anybody but myself, right? And I was doing a lousy job at that. I mean, all I cared for was me, and that's an easy way to focus, and that was my decision, was the hell with everybody else. I'm going for me. So that was not exactly a Christian idea. But I never intended to be a pastor anyway. So this is weird. I had other ideas. But when God gets a hold of you, he ruins your life, what you were heading for. The decisions I was making were all for me. I will be great. I will be, you know, strong, handsome, so on and so forth. Well, it didn't work. So I decided to be a pastor. So that's how I became a pastor. It wasn't by failure. It was actually by success. I was very successful at getting the goals that I was seeking. But that's when you find out that what I'm seeking isn't always what you really want. You know, once you get what you want, you realize, well, I don't know if I want that. When I went to Harvard, I had a scholarship to go to Harvard. Once I went there, I didn't like it. And I had a scholarship to Aberdeen, Scotland. I had a scholarship to Heidelberg, Germany. I had scholarships anywhere I wanted to go in the world. So, but once I got there, I realized I don't want to go here. This is not where I want to go. When I went to Yale, I liked it. So I said, that's where I'm going to go. So those are decisions that you make based upon your selfish, you know, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? And since I want to be the smartest person ever, this is the place I'm going to get the smarts. Now, Harvard isn't that far away, so we often could go back and forth. So we took advantage of all Harvard stuff as well. But the truth is, I wasn't heading for the ministry ever. Never. What a loser that would be if I was a minister. I mean, that's what I thought of it. I thought of Christians as hypocrites and liars and fakes and phonies. Hello?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I just thought, boy, who would want to do that? That was never my goal. But in going through life, you learn after a while is you don't really know who you are or why you're here or where you're going. And so I had no interest in learning about the Bible or anything, but I ended up not only at Yale, but I ended up in their divinity school, and then I ended up in postgraduate work and so on and so forth. But it was never with the idea of doing anything like what I'm doing. But I love what I'm doing. I love it. But it changed my marriage. It changed my relationship to my parents and so on. Changed everything in my life. Once you realize you're not as smart as you think you are, you know, even though I had degree after degree after degree, that doesn't mean anything. You realize with all your smarts, what about happiness? Well, I was happy. I mean, I always was happy. I was always, you know, humanly. But that God thing messed me up. You know, I was like, I'm not really instant God. Has anybody else had that background? You know, I looked at Christians and I thought, I want to be like one of them. I don't want to. They're having no fun. just like, that would be awful, being a missionary or something or whatever. But here I am, and I am having fun doing the very thing I thought I wouldn't. So I know you don't always know everything, I mean, at least in my case. You don't know who you are or why you're here or what the purpose is. Now it's my whole life. So I want to talk about that today out of John chapter 3. There was a man from the Pharisees, and his name was Nicodemus. So Nike in the Greek language means conqueror, victorious, someone who's, you know, an overcomer, a conqueror. And demos, Nicodemus, that's the word for people. So, meaning victory over the people, Nicodemus. So, this man Nicodemus was a big Jewish high muckety muck. He was someone well-respected. He was part of the Sanhedrin, which was their ruling body in Israel under Roman jurisdiction. And so Nicodemus, victory over the people, he was one of the leaders. He came to Jesus. And they were kind of checking Jesus out to see what was with this guy. Why was he going off in his own direction? So here's what happened. He said to him, a man from the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This one came to Jesus by night. I mean, you know, when you come by night, it's because you don't want to be seen talking to Jesus. And that was the way I was. I didn't really want to be, you know, praying or something and have people look at me and think, that guy's weird. And so, you know, at Harvard, Yale, and stuff like that, you don't want to be associated with those kind of weird people. In Texas, it's okay. I mean, no, down here in Texas, it's okay. But in the rest of the United States, it's kind of like, you know, there's something wrong with you, you know, mentally or emotionally or something that's lacking in your life, that you would be a Jesus freak or some kind of thing, whatever they call you. But now I am one. All right, let's see. So this one came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you have come as a teacher from God. For no one is able to do the miracles that you do. And that's how we know you're from God. We're not arguing that. You're definitely, you know, you teach stuff that we don't teach. And you teach our stuff, but you teach it in an upside down to us way. So I've always been contrary to everything else. If everybody's conservative, I'd be liberal. If everybody else was liberal, I'd be conservative. You know, I'm always contrary to everything because I don't trust people. Is there anybody else that doesn't trust people? I don't know why. It's just it's something that when you live among people, you watch people, you realize a lot of them are idiots. Has anybody discovered that? Esther, you've discovered that? You are right. Oh, you quit your job?
How about other half?
Yeah. Yeah, amen. That's good. Okay. Anyway, so as you go through life, you realize, you know, there aren't a lot of smart people out there, or nice people, or whatever else they say they are. A lot of people are hypocritical. They're contradictions. They walk around with contradictions. So I discovered that in myself. Forget everybody else. I discovered it in myself. I was a living contradiction. I had different views, and they weren't compatible. How can you be humble and proud at the same time, kind of thing? And I was both. I appeared humble so that you get along in life. And, you know, like, I'm okay, I get along socially and so on. But at the same time, I was completely proud that I was more humble than anybody else or whatever. And so we're contradictions. And that's the way God set it up. How many of God knew when he made mankind that would happen? That people would be contradictory. You know, he made you where you weren't quite finished. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of that? When he made you, you have your existence. You have your existence, but you don't have your essence. You have to choose it. You have to decide it. Who will I be? Remember in Alice in Wonderland? The little guy that smoked his thing up on the mushroom. He said, "Who are you?" And Alice then had to, I don't know if I'm big or small or what I am. And so she was in Wonderland. And that's a kind of a parable of most people's lives. They don't know who they are. They don't know if reality is reality or dreams are reality, or they don't know what's what. And so a church is often a place where people get answers. And answers, we don't give anything interesting as an answer. The only thing we go by is the Bible. Whatever the Bible says, that's it. For me, that's it. That's the handbook. That's the end of it. Amen. Now, I didn't always think that at all. I never thought that. The Bible had zero interest to me. Everything else seemed more solid. Until you go degree after degree and you begin to learn that the more you learn, the more questions you have, not the more answers. Anybody else discovered that? I mean, the more you learn what life is, the more you realize you don't know what you're talking about. And so one professor would argue with another professor, it's kind of hard as a student then to figure out which one is right. You know, and you go, well, it makes sense what he said. Well, that makes sense what he said. But he doesn't agree with him, and he doesn't agree with him. And so I gave that up pretty quickly to realize I don't think any of these guys know everything. So how am I supposed to know? You know, I'm just going to have to keep studying, and I don't know that that's going to lead to brilliance or something. And all I wanted was weapons that allow you to get a better job somewhere. That's about it. And I just, how can I make the most money and, you know, succeed and so on and so forth. And so somehow I ended up where I ended up. But I was the top of the top of the top. You took 5 courses, I took 10, literally. I always took 10. I was in class all day long. I just went from one class to another class to another class. Now, you might think that's a lot of work. Actually, it was easier to do that than it was just to take, you know, read a paragraph or something. If I would read somebody, I'd read everything they wrote. If I'd read Friedrich Nietzsche, I'd read everything. If I would read Søren Kierkegaard, I'd read everything. If I would read Freud, I'd read everything. And so because of that, I was kind of a brain head. I knew that. I knew that was a real advantage because most people just trying to get past the test. I actually had a mathematical, you know, capacity to remember stuff. I had like a photographic memory. And so therefore, I got A++. I didn't even just get A+. It was mathematically perfect. So I love that because that gave me an advantage. I'm not talking about myself. I'm just talking about life. I'm just saying, well, if anyone should succeed, it'd be me. And I was going to get 7 or 8 degrees just to have more than most people. And I quit after a while and realized, you know what? I really have all the tools I need. I don't really need to do anything more because I can always self-teach. I have, I don't know how many books I have, 35,000, I don't know, in my house. So I can read all the time. I can read Hebrew, Greek, Latin, etc., etc., etc. So that gives you an advantage to understand things, but most people that are intellectual are not God people. And I wasn't. I was not a God person. I didn't have any highfalutin ideas about who I was, but I certainly wasn't a God person. That did, that seemed like a dead end. How many know most of the people in the world today are post-Christian, post, you know, God? And they're just trying to make it without a God. And I would have been one of those. Totally. Totally. But here I am. I'm totally in love with Jesus. I mean, it's not just intellectual. It's a real thing for me. Yeah, he's my best friend. So when I read the Bible, I don't read it as just a bunch of concepts and ideas. It's not at all. For me, it's not intellectual. For me, it's something my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole life. So I'm what you're supposed to be, actually, is a real Christian. And I'll die for this, physically. Somebody says, are you a Christian? Yeah, I am. Will you give up your Christian? No. Go ahead, shoot. Do whatever you're going to do. Chop my head off. Why? Because I'm already ruined. I'm completely decided. I made a decision. I mean, once you make a decision, it's very peaceful on the inside, but on the outside, people don't like people that have made those kind of strong decisions. But in our faith, we don't force people. So all I do is deliver the goods. You like it, great. You don't like it, no problem. I don't have any stake in it. I never would force anybody. Don't force my wife. Don't force anybody to do anything. Just, you know, it's my decision. I'm just going to do what I want to do, but I'm not going to tell anybody else what to do or not to do. I'll tell them, but I know they're not going to listen. They have to make up their own mind. How many know that that is the way Jesus operated? No. Forget how I could operate. It's, you know, I don't use any of my scholarship or anything else to force anybody, impress anybody or whatever. I'm just telling you that's what I did. I did it because I didn't know God. So this guy Nicodemus was a smart guy. He came to Jesus by night, so no one saw he was there. And then here's what Jesus said to him. We know you're a teacher come from God, for no one is able to do these miracles which you do except God be with him. So, I believe in miracles, and I've experienced tons of them. So I'm not, I just exactly what he said. No one can do these things you do. Now, let me use some chairs here. Let's say this chair is you as a wicked person. Is there anybody that should sit in that chair here?
Yeah.
Karen? It's cool. Now, here's you as a nice person. So you could either be wicked or nice. Exactly. This is the right chair, according to the Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the nice people. Most churches are full of these people, not these people. They are these people, but they pretend like they're these people until you get in an argument with them. Then they pull rank on you. Sorry about this. Now, this one says, I don't believe that this one is the way to go. In other words, me behave myself. This one is who you really are. Me, always for me. I mean, if you're born in the flesh, this chair right here is flesh, then you're flesh. Now, you can hide it under a mask. You can mask it and pretend like you're nice. And everybody does. Everybody does. I know how to do it. You want to get along in life, you don't want to do one of these. These are bad people who just tell you what they think and what they want and so on. They're very hard to live with. So most people mask who they really are. Is anybody here like that? A hypocrite, a liar, a phony, a fake, a mask wearer? Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God, that's good. So most Christians are here because it's safe. It's safe. But this here is the word repent. In Hebrew, racham. Let's say racham. 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 It means not what you think it means. In Greek, it would be metanoia, to change your mind. So this one is, I was one of these or one of these, but I've changed my mind. It's what happened to me. I did change my mind. But the Greek one is, I had an intellectual change of mind. In other words, my mind is my intellect. So I just said, oh, I don't believe in that idea. I believe in this idea. But I never was confused about being good. I knew I was never good. Everything I did was for me, selfish, completely to be impressive and so on and so forth, so I could be something in this world. I mean, no, that's the goal of all of these people right here, to be amazing and, you know, loved and worshipped and get more money, that kind of thing. But since I knew it, this was it, but people don't like that, I behaved on the outside till you weren't looking. So I never forgot who I really was. Whereas most people that are sitting in this chair really believe they're nice because they behave. How many know that what you do is not who you are? What you do is just what you do to get along. And so this is really a chair that has no real existence. It's just, but 99.999 people are here. So I repented, not of this, because I never was one of these, just superficial. But I never believed I was a good person. When I got married, I didn't say to my wife, I love you. If she'd asked, do you love me? I might superficially say, yeah. I might say, yeah. But the truth is, once we got married, I'm not lying to you anymore. Nope, don't really care about you. I'm just using you. So, and I did. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So I totally abusive, totally used her because I was one of these. Nasty person, just totally. I never covered, got married. Why should I lie to her? It takes too much time and energy. You know, people are superficial. I can do that in society. But here at home, I'm just going to be me. And so I had no cover. I was naked. Totally exactly what I was. Nevertheless, though I didn't think I was basically good and did a few bad things. I knew I was basically evil and did a few good things just to get along in society. Y'all see that? Now, there aren't many people that do that, but I did. Although there may be more people like that than, I don't know, who knows? That's everybody else's decision. But I don't like these kind of people because they're always lying, not to God and other people. They lie to themselves. They really think because they behave good, they are good. Hey, I didn't play golf today. I came here. That kind of thing. And it's like, I didn't do that. I played golf. I shot a hole in one, and I want everyone to know I did. I don't care that I missed church. So I could lie, cheat, steal easily. Now, that is not good for society. So society requires that you behave. And if you don't, they can punish you one way or the other. But nevertheless, we're all born of the flesh right here. And when you cut deeply into people, like you get married, hey, you're going to marry a real person. That's wicked. And my wife never made any sins. She had two sins when I married her. Two sins. When she was 4, she broke a window or something. When she was 11 or whatever, 10, whatever, whatever she was. Told on one of her friends and decided to never do that again, kind of thing. So those were her two sins. And I helped her after we got married to sin a lot more. Just because my wickedness brought out her, you know, she thought I should behave, especially since I was going to be a pastor. She just thought, you know, if you're a minister, you should look like one. Well, I don't care. I don't care if they fire me or not. Let's go do something else. So I was so bad. David wasn't there, I don't think, that I got up in front of the church in Fort Worth and I said, by the way, I don't believe in God. And I just got up and said, you know, I don't know. I just feel like being honest today, tell you the whole truth is I don't believe in any of this stuff that I'm doing. You're just paying me. And now you got a chance to fire me if you want to. But you probably won't because you're all fake and phony too. How many know that's not a normal minister? That is not a normal ministry. But, it was the truth. And I just decided, I'd been there a year or so, and the honeymoon thing was over. And I just thought, I just might as well just tell them, because I'll go and do something else. I don't really need this job or whatever. I don't know why I'm doing this. It's not a heart thing, that my heart wasn't in it. But it was a good job. As a minister, all you got to do is work one day a week. 1 hour on Sunday morning, you're finished. They pay you. I thought that was cool. Because then the rest of the week, I could do what I wanted. That was smart. Yeah. It's like, hey, you don't have to do a lot and you get paid. And David was 12, 11 or 12? 11? David was 11 at that time. Now he's 50-ish. Are you 50-ish? Huh? 54?
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't know what he is, but I've known him for a while.
How old are you?
Yeah. So, anyway, so as you go through life, you realize, who are you? Well, I repented. Metanoia, racham. I repented of both those chairs. In other words, I didn't want to be this one because and that's who I was. But I didn't want to be this one any longer because it didn't agree with what I was doing. That's why I told people the truth. Okay, well, I don't believe in God. I'm right here. But I would like to be the real thing or not the real thing. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Every miracle in the Bible, I want it to happen to me or forget it. In other words, I don't want to be second, third, fourth, fifth. I want to be what you're supposed to be or quit. So that was my decision. Let's go all the way or not at all. Now, I didn't have to do that. It was just my decision. I think I want to be the real thing. And after that, I fell in love with my wife, my mother, my sister, my everybody. I began to pray for my enemies. I just did exactly what it said in the book. And my heart was in it because I repented and then I believed what the Bible said. I just believed all the words in this Bible. And I believed that everything it said was true. So I became a believer. And at first, to me, all I did was not those two, but this one. Even though I never was one of these, I was never moral or nice or anything. But nevertheless, I now repented of both those chairs and said, I don't want to be nasty anymore, but I'm not going to do anything. If you can do it all, do it. If you can't, don't. So that whole idea that God does everything was in the book. And that's what Jesus is going to talk about with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was here. Jesus was over there saying, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you. I don't want you to behave. I don't want you to be chair two. I know you're chair one. And I want you to repent of that, racham. Now, racham does not mean change your mind. It means change your mind in the direction of total comfort, total rest, total peace, total joy, total on this earth. Don't be this anxiety chair over here. Because no matter how much you sin against other people, and I did, and I had no conscience about it, no matter how much you do, you're guilty. I always knew I was guilty. That was not a surprise to me that I only cared about me. I didn't tell everybody else that because they don't like that. And you can't cheat them so easily if you tell them you're a criminal. But just forget people. I just started dealing with this Bible, with the word here, because I was a minister now. But I knew I was a complete nothing. I just faked it. And as I said, I got paid. I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't gotten paid. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. Because I was an egghead, I liked to read a lot. And as a minister, you can read a lot.
Right.
And I was always a big reader. About anything, agriculture, oil and gas, anything. I want to read about it. I want to know everything about everything about everything. I just love doing it. So I had kind of a love of learning. And when you go to the top schools, you're taught by the best teachers in the world. They come from, you know, everywhere to come to those schools. And so you learn everything that is known in that particular field or at that particular time. And so I had all that background, but the Jesus thing messed me up, because that would mess your whole life up if you went from the world to another world, to another world that was eternal. So I want to talk today about eternal life. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, in other words, I'm really telling you the truth. I say to you, if one does not receive birth from above. Now, I know in the King James it's different, but I'm telling you what the Greek says. If you do not receive birth, not just that you're born, but you receive this birth, okay, from hearing an offer. So when someone makes you an offer, you either receive it or you don't. I don't want your offer. I do want your offer. So if you receive eternal life, the gift of eternal life, if you receive it, that means you don't have to pay for it. It's just free. So as I was sitting here in this chair, I was thinking about, you know, if I receive eternal life, it's a gift. I don't have to work at it. These religious people are working at it. I'm not a religious person. I just got back from Israel. And the first thing most of the Israelis would tell you when they met you is, I'm not religious. Well, I told them, well, I am. But I don't apologize. So, and you're meeting with the government. I'm meeting with the government. I'm meeting with the defense minister, the head of Mossad, you know, all the high muckety mucks of Israel, the generals, and so on. So we're meeting one-on-one, just a couple of us sitting in the room. And they're telling us everything that's happening and where cybersecurity is and, you know, the whole bit. So you're learning all about how Israel survives as a people, as a nation. Anyway, but what I learned is secular didn't mean no God. It meant no religion. Well, what they were saying to me is not we don't believe in God. What they were saying is we don't believe in the way that our religious people tell us about God. That was interesting, because that's exactly where I was. Is I didn't know if there was a God or not and didn't care. I mean, he had no meaning to me. This world was all I cared about. I didn't care where I went later, because I didn't. How would I know there's a heaven or a hell or an anything? I don't know anything. And I could tell all the brain people didn't know either. They were just purely speculating, guessing. So one of the things, when you're ruthlessly honest to yourself, I know I could say I believe it, but I don't. That's why I got up in front of the church and said, I don't believe any of this stuff. None of it. And I believe you're all liars too. And you're just fake. So if you're one of these, I'll tell you where you want to go. If you want to be, get another minister that'll say what you want to say. But I'm not going to do that. So you want to stay here? It'll be hell to pay. Because I'm just going to tell you where I exactly am. So that gives you a chance to get out or get fire me. Be your easiest move, just fire me. But then you know what you're going to get afterward? You're going to get another liar or a phony or a fake, a chair tour. If that's what you want, no problem. I'm not that person. So, you know what? It's been very interesting. Because the whole world today is not looking just for answers. They're looking for truth. Happiness doesn't exist in this world. How many know Marilyn Monroe didn't find it? Jackson didn't find it. No matter what he did, no matter how well he performed, he was always performing. And he knew that nobody really gave a flip for him. That's why he died. That was his biggest problem, if you read his own testimony. His biggest problem was, I have all this money, but people don't love me for me. They only love me for how I dance and how I sing and how I do whatever I do. But they don't really care about me, and I know it. And so I have to keep performing, and I'm tired of it. No, he killed himself. Or took an overdose, whatever. But so happiness is not easy to find in this world. Amen? Because other people around you are not perfect. Has anyone discovered that? That other people around you are not perfect. And then after a while it occurs to you, and I'm not either. I'm not perfect. How many know that none of us are perfect? Well, this book says that. It calls that sin. So here, when you sit in this chair, you're supposed to repent of all of that as sinful. Man at his worst, chair one. Man at his best, chair two. It's the same. This is why they killed Jesus, because he said they're the same. Man at his best, man at his worst, same person. This one's lying, but he's really one of those. So because of that, those nice people killed him. Those nice religious people. How many know religion today is still violent? The Muslims, if you don't accept their faith, let's chop your head off. Whether you're Jewish or Christian or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever you are. And now the Hindus are doing it in India. Peggy and I were with some Indians yesterday, and they have a big ministry, about 25,000 members in their church. And they were showing us pictures and even movies of Christians being slaughtered. I mean, we were just watching it. You could see it. It was like unbelievable. And they just, chop your head off. You can see the blood just gushing out. And so it's like, whoa. And they just take chainsaws, cut your head right off. So you can see that the world is putting together religion and violence. And the Catholic Church used to do it. And Protestants did it. And so you have that kind of crazy stuff, is that Jesus didn't do it. You remember Jesus didn't do it? He said to Pilate when he was talking to him, by the way, if my followers would fight to save me from being handed over, if my followers would fight to further the kingdom, then they'd be part of this world. But my kingdom is not of this world. It's nothing like this world. So over here, when you become a believer, you're not allowed to put violence together with what you believe. So Peggy can tell you, I don't have any rules for her. She can say anything, do anything, whatever. I love her, period. I don't care what she says or what she does. Or she doesn't have to love me back. She doesn't have to do anything. No rules, no laws. Why? I don't believe in these laws. I don't believe people were ever made to keep these laws. Now, I'm not talking about business. I'm not talking about, turtles and frogs. I'm talking about people. People do not like to keep laws. They don't like to behave. And even though a lot of them are proud that they have behaved well, the truth is nobody likes those laws. As I said earlier, I don't think laziness is a gift of the Spirit, but I've got it. I don't mind being lazy at all. I'm not. I'm never lazy. I'm not. I'm just telling you, though, I don't mind it. It's just like, I'd love it if I didn't have all these responsibilities and so on and so forth. But the truth is, I've chosen to do it deliberately. And so I'm not going to ever be free. I'm always going to be 3 or 4 years behind on everything. Except the IRS. Not the IRS. Because they can come after you, other people. It takes a little slower. But they can do things, so I'll take care of them. Always make sure those guys are out of my life. So I don't wrestle with them or whatever. Although I did just recently wrestle with them and I won. But that's very unusual. That's very unusual because they're hungry for money, revenue. But anyway. But I thank God that God, I believe God helped me to get free. Now, it isn't that I can't afford it, it's that I don't want to. I just don't want to. I don't believe they know how to use money better than I do. I think money in my hand is better. So I'm kinder, more generous, and so on and so forth. I don't think they are, but in this case, they forgave me all the debt. 0.00. You owe. You must pay, it said. You must pay At the top, it had several thousand dollars that I owed. And then at the bottom, it said, you must pay 0.00. I said, yahoo! I love that. I love that. Now, here's what Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say to you, if one does not receive birth from above, the word for from above is anothen. Anothen, that's Greek. From above, in Hebrew, it would be ad, A-D. When you receive something from above, like birth, that changes your whole life, your whole destiny, your whole purpose, your whole meaning. So how many of you have received this gift, chair four, this received this gift of eternal life that you didn't earn? You didn't work it. You were only one of these here. Selfish person, just you, stupid, smart, whatever. Doesn't make any difference. You just received the gift. Hey, come up here. Skip these chairs. Oh, thanks. Cool. So just sit down. You're going to get eternal life. Okay, I don't even know what it is, but I'll take it. You got two of those? I don't know what it is. How would I know? How many have ever been in eternal life? I mean, we don't know what eternal life is. We've never seen heaven or whatever. So you've never seen it. So you don't know. Why is that a big deal to me? That after I die, I keep living. I won't stay in the grave. My body will rot and so on. But those molecules, I'll get a new body. Okay, that's what the book says. So this is the craziest religion, but I happen to believe it's the truth. I believe this is the only one that is true. Amen. If one does not receive birth from above, he is not able to see the kingdom of God. He is not able. Now the word able is dunamis. That there's an English word, dynamite, that is similar to that word. It means power. You don't have the power to get this eternal life. In other words, your life here is imperfect, and your life here, no matter how nice you look, is still imperfect. So you don't have the power to get this gift over here, which is not given to people that behave. It's not given to people that behave. It's given to people that misbehave. Now, this is so strange. It's the key of my whole theology. My understanding is that only misbehavers are loved by God. Did you ever see a child born into this world? They're not at all thinking of their mom. Hi, mom, I'm here to help. And not one of them. Not one of them. And as they grow up, they don't want to help. I mean, when they're real little, they kind of do, but that quickly leaves when they realize, I don't want to come to the table. I don't want to go to bed. You know, whatever. And so that chair one side cometh out. Have you ever noticed that about little kids? You go to bed right now. No. You ever notice that about little kids? They don't just go, okay. You know, they might for a while, but after a while they go, no. I want to stay up. Alice is staying up. I want to stay up. Well, Alice is 17 years old. You're only two, so you're going to bed right now. How many know that is sinful, wicked? They're not even trying to be chair two. And there's not a little kid ever born in the world that has ever tried hard to keep behaving. And the little ones that come home, this is how they come home. They go, Mom, I was the only one today in class that got a star. That is humility. Can you see the humility there? I was the only one. There it is. The others were all brats, you know, whatever. And I got the star. You know, the teacher said I did the best, you know, whatever. So little kids are just natural, wicked, sinful people over here. And you have to kind of educate them into this fake, lying, social thing. You do. You have to educate them into it. I mean, because they are natural liars, fakes, and phonies. And even teenagers. Now they're a little older. But even teenagers, they just come out and they'll swear when they hadn't sworn for the first 10 years of their life. And all of a sudden, they're swearing. Hey, where did you learn that? I don't know. So here they are, teenagers, even if they don't say it, they're thinking it. They've heard someone else say that or on television or whatever. Today, television's not like it used to be. And so they're hearing a lot and seeing a lot of stuff. And so little kids, they don't have any problem being here. But we make them as parents be here. You will do what I say, or I'll spank you. Okay, that's using force to make them behave. Or, all right, you're not eating. That also is manipulating them. Do y'all see that? Now, little kids generally bow to that. They usually bend to that, but not always. Especially if you've grown up in, you know, a bad situation. You early on decide, I'm not going to be like my parents. I'm not going to follow what they're doing. So Jesus comes along and offers this good news, not to this chair, but to this chair. And he says, this is the one I love. How many know that God loves you just the way you are? You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be awesome. You can just be you. I don't care who you are. He makes this offer. It's a blanket offer. I just offer to you eternal life. Now, this is a weird religion because all the other religions are chair too. Yeah. But this one says, repent, change your mind, be comforted. Don't go either of these, one or two. But I want you to go this way, this direction. And most churches are not teaching anything more than that God has forgiven you. Why? Because they don't want to teach, you know, that you should learn to come under Jesus' lordship. In other words, obey and do what he says, which I want to do. Or to be a lover of others so that you not only let God remake you and send you through all kinds of problems and troubles and difficulties and laugh, rejoice when he does, but you then are to be a lover, and he says, this is what I'm coming back for, one of these lovers. I'm not coming back for a faith person that believes on me. I'm not coming back for a disciple who is trying to submit to me and is having troubles. I'm only coming back for lovers who are completely at rest, completely mature, completely, totally happy with their life, totally fulfilled. Are you? Is everybody here totally happy, radiant? Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
In faith, I am.
In faith, you are? Okay, that's good. That's good. You're in chair four. So we have to send you to chair five, the electric chair, until you're dead. Until you're dead to yourself, to your own thoughts, your own feelings, and so on. Otherwise, you'd be back here. So what he's saying is, not only do I forgive you here in chair four, but I'm going to change you, not in the world to come. I'm going to change you even in this world as you keep looking at my gift giving. So I'm going to give you this eternal life that never stops. It keeps going until you're perfected. I mean, that's not what churches are teaching. No. I don't care what their name is. They can say grace, but it turns out to be just mercy. All people want is, I want to keep sinning in chair one, but I want to be going to heaven too. Yeah. Now that is not what God has promised. So when he gives you this free gift of eternal life, right here, aionios, everlasting, never stops, life, it keeps going this direction toward God rather than back this direction. Because most Christians are constantly falling back into sin or falling back into legalism. So it's either licentious or legalistic, licentious or legalistic. But they're not becoming lovers of God and of their fellow man, truly, not just looking religious, faking. Y'all see that? So this chair here is the fooler. And most people are satisfied to be lukewarm Christians. You know, just, well, I don't want to do all that. I don't want to go through that chair five thing, that too much suffering. But actually, the reason you repented, this chair, of these two, is so that you don't fall back into either of these, that you go on that way. Simple. Very simple. You either want to live your life, good or bad, you want to live your life, or you want to stop working at it and just take all these free gifts. How many know that a free gift, you don't have to work for it? When I was a little bitty kid, I remember my aunt, Marge, I remember my aunt would try to get me to come into a party. And I didn't want to. Who knows why? But for whatever reason. But she would coerce me to go in. She had that kind of way, is, come on, you like it. I don't like those people, you know, whatever. And little kids sometimes are like that, right? I don't want to be with that group because so-and-so took this or did that or something. And you just don't want to be in there. But she would always coax me into coming in with ice cream and, you know, whatever was there. And so the truth is that free gifts are free. You know, why just take it. Well, what if you're not interested in it? Then you don't want it. I mean, I'm called a lot. We got free airline tickets or a trip to Hawaii or, you know, you get all these things all the time that are free. We got one now, just came yesterday. And everything's free. But you know there's a string attached. And you know that they're not just doing it because they're kind and so on and so forth. God may do it, but people do not do it. You know, so there's always a string attached. You're like, when you get married, there's usually this thought. He loves me. How many know that is a weird thought? He loves me. He said so. How many know just saying so doesn't mean anything? I mean, I know guys just say that kind of stuff. It's, you know, I'll give you everything you've ever wanted. You know, marry me, it's going to be awesome, and so on and so forth. But it doesn't turn out that way after a little while. And because their true self comes out. Could anyone here say amen?
Amen.
You know, people are people. They're imperfect. And even Christians, when they're growing, they're not mature yet. They haven't reached chair 6. And they hate chair 5 because nobody wants to suffer. I mean, it's no fun living with someone that doesn't love you completely. Now, I love my wife completely, meaning I want everything for her. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I don't want her to do anything for me. She can be anything she wants to be. And sometimes she is. So it's okay. I don't care that she's consistent, inconsistent, whatever. That's called unconditional love. Where did I get that idea? From Jesus. He loved me when I was yet a sinner. And he loved me unconditionally. Chair 4 loved me unconditionally and said, I want you to have eternal life. Now, eternal life is a gift. It's not earned. You don't have to be in chair 2 to earn it. You have to be in chair 1. Do not think, Jesus said, I came for the righteous. I didn't come for the group that's self-righteous. They think they're righteous. I came for sinners who repent. 1, who becomes 3, so that they can believe that I want to do everything. Now, if only God is good, I haven't proved it, I'm just telling you the Bible says he is. If he's the only one that's good, and you're not, you're in trouble. If you're a number 1, you're in trouble. Number 2 thinks they're safe. They're looking for security in this world. And so they feel like, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm good enough. Well, I don't know. Is that the game grading on a curve? I'm better than he is or she is. Okay. Well, then you're okay. I don't believe that. I believe you have to be perfect. How many know if God is perfect, you have to be perfect? It's in the law, if you're going to keep the law. It's in the law. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy. Well, I don't be holy like that. You know, God is really, really holy. He doesn't sin at all. And I do. I'm gifted at it. Is anyone else gifted at sinning? You know, if somebody attacks you, you're gifted at attacking back. Sometimes preemptive. But at least, you know, hey, what are you talking about? And Peg and I used to duke it out. We used to duke it out. Because she was always Miss Innocent and I was always Mr. Guilty. And I didn't mind being guilty. I just didn't want her to think she was better than I was. You know, better than I am, just a liar. How many know that makes for a great marriage? It makes for a great marriage. Because I was a confirmed liar. And because I'm married to her, I'm not going to fake with her. And I just tell her. So she'd ask me, Jim, do you love me? No. It took 2 seconds. No. The reason it took 2 seconds is because I was trying to figure out, what is she up to now? What does she want now? You know, what? Do you love me? Peg, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. Get your own God. Get your own stuff. Don't look to me. Don't be looking to me. I'm not God. I'm not perfect. How many know you're not perfect? That's why there's so many divorces in Dallas. How many know Dallas used to be the capital? I don't think they are anymore, but they used to be the capital of murder, the capital of divorce, the capital of bars. And they had more, I know they have more restaurants than anybody else, but so I don't know if they are now, but getting divorced is easy over here. And people just are in the third, the fourth, so on and so forth, looking for, you know, life, looking for something. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What's he talking about? Right here. He's talking about, this is life. You now have eternal life. But eternal means it keeps going. And it keeps going until you're perfected. Not in the world to come. In this world. How many know that God wants you actually to be a lover? A child of God. A son of the living God. And so he has designed this for us. Now, if you skip over these next few verses where it'll say, except one is born of water and the Spirit. How many know that when you're born, biologically, naturally, you're born of water. Water comes out. But you're also born of the Spirit. Now, then he had just said in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3, that which is born of the flesh, number 1, is flesh. Even if it looks like number 2 that it's not, it is. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How many know that is diametric opposite? You're either born of the flesh, chair 1, or you're born of the Spirit, chair 4. Once you're born of the Spirit, then he wants you to live eternal life. I came that you might have life. I'm born of the Spirit, born anothen from above. Now, I'm a heavenly being, and I should act like a heavenly being. What's that like? Jesus. The way he was, that's the way you need to be. What did he do? He gave up his life, never took care of himself, never 1 second thought of, what do I want? What do I need? Just trusted God. He just knew God will take care of me. So he was always serving others, and so he went through all kinds of suffering. He didn't care. He rejoiced when he went through suffering. He said, no, this is for Alex. I'm going to do this for Alex. I'm going to do this for Willis. I'm going to do this for all of us. He said, I don't care. I don't care what kind of suffering I go through. I want to do it because you're worth it, Dan. You're worth it. So your family background was be perfect. You were actually taught this. Be perfect in this world. And you almost were. A complete liar. You almost were. But you lost a lot because that doesn't work. You weren't perfect at all. And you were just one of those who then become one of those, but you didn't grow that away. You went back to this away, here, lying. So you're a consummate liar. You were such a liar, you didn't even know yourself you were lying. That is a really good liar. I mean, that is an awesome liar. You and Peggy would have gotten along good. You'd have got along good. Yeah. You wouldn't have. It would not have worked. Because legalistic people, they despise one another. I'm better than you are. No, I'm better. I mean, it's very hard to win in this group right here. This group is okay. We're okay. We're all mafia. We're all bad guys and so on. So there's no big deal. So Jesus came along and said, all of everybody here, I don't care who you are, good, bad, whatever you say you are, I forgive you. I want you to have eternal life. So here you got it. It's a free gift. So you're born from above just by believing his offer. that he who came from above came downstairs. That which is above is superior. It's over. So whatever comes from heaven is better than what's on earth. Earth is just temporal. How many know this world is going to pass away? Pretty soon the sun will burn up and all that kind of stuff. So everybody knows it's temporal. It has no everlasting capacity to renew itself. There are still people, of course, who think it could go on and on and on, but it can't. It's coming to an end. And so when it comes to an end, everything comes to an end. Everything will burn up. It won't be flooded like last time. It'll just be a big burn thing. Over. So here, if you have this eternal life, you don't burn. How many know that spirit doesn't burn? Could I have a spirit log, and you put a spirit log in the fire? It won't burn. So spirit doesn't drown. Spirit doesn't burn. So spirit is totally different because it's not part of this world. So Jesus said, my kingdom, these three, are not part of this world. So you make a decision right here. Which way am I going to go? And once you put your hand to the plow and then you turn back, you're in trouble. How many know that somebody who's plowing with a couple of oxen in front of him and then he turns around like this, the oxen will go like that. And so you just ruined the field you were plowing. You have to go back and do it again. So once you put your hand to the plow, you don't, what, Alice? You now they're over here. You see, huh? You know, and they're over here. So what he's saying is, once you head down this road, don't turn back. Because it's the turning that's hard on the machinery or hard on the, you know, what you're supposed to be accomplishing. So what God wants you to do is go all the way. How many know that is not easy for flesh? You know why? Because in chair 5, flesh dies. Flesh is going to be gone. It won't rule you anymore. You still sin, but you can't stay in the sin because the Holy Spirit convicts you and so on and so forth. So you can't stay in the sin. So once you believe, that's just the beginning. But it's not he who begins. It's he who endures to the end. It's not he who starts the foundation. But the wise man builds a foundation and he's going to build a tower on it. He better count the cost of the tower. What does it cost to drill the well? What does it cost to keep it going? That was for you, John. What does it cost to keep it going? Well, you got to be able to finish it. You know, what if the investors, you know, dry up on you? What if you don't have enough to finish before you start? So a wise man builds this foundation to build something on it so that then you can enjoy the fruits of it. So the fruits of eternal life is that you're a lover. That is not for heaven. That's for here. That's why I fell in love with my mother, my three fathers, you know, everybody. Why? That's what Jesus said. Here, Jim, I want you to come here. Now you're alive, born. Now I want to kill you. What? I want to get rid of all your one stuff. Huh. Well, that could take a while. But I got a lot of it. Yeah, well, I've got all the time. In eternity, I got plenty of time, so I'm not worried about it. So he wanted to kill me. I resisted. As soon as God starts to change me, hey, what are you doing? Don't take that. Take this one over here. I'll quit swearing, but I'm not quitting this one right here. I'm going to still be, you know, greedy and so on and so forth. So God had to knock all that out of me. How many know that that takes a while? That's not like chair 4, just as I am without one plea. There it is. You know, you go forward, you're saved. No, it's not like that. It's a process. It's not just drilling. You got to go on the whole way. And once you do all of this, there's a big process here. There's a lot that takes, you don't just stop at some point along the way. Otherwise, it has no value. The only reason to build a foundation is to build a house on it so that you can get the fruit of it, the purpose for it. So you're the house he's building. So to do that, he has to deconstruct you. He has to get rid of all of the other stuff that's in there and purify it through some kind of big, you know, installation that separates this from that, from this from that, and so on. So you get rid of all the contaminants. You get rid of all of the not valuable parts and so on. That's what God is doing in your life right now so that you're happy all the time. When you come out here, you're full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. You're full of all of that plus faithfulness. I mean, it's amazing. So those nine gifts are what God is all about. He's not about getting you saved. He's about saving you all the way. Otherwise, you'll fall back. And that's why Christians today are hypocrites. These Christians here and these Christians here, they don't get very far. Because this one is just, you know, faking it like I was. Complete fake, a liar. But this group here, they keep it up. They think if they got 5,000 members or 10,000 members, they're successful. Or 50,000 or 100,000 or 500,000. I've been in a church where 500,000. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. They have umpteen services all day long. Dr. Cho's church, South Korea. But there are a lot of churches in South America, 250,000 and so on and so forth. I could have that many. Well, Pastor, why don't you do it? You think I want to have 250,000 problems? Man, I get paid nicely now for just a handful of people. Peggy's enough to even slow you down right there. Y'all don't see the humor of that. But, so people are not easy to work with. How many know some people are devious? They're liars. Not Esther, but, you know, you're not. But other people. And so what God wants is to give you this gift of eternal life. Not only that, He will also be the one that goes through you when you go through this. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So when He sends you through the fire, He goes with you. Not only that, He'll also perfect you so that you look like, act like, and talk like. Remember, you look like there. Now you are destroyed here so that you resurrect here and you're a lover. So that's what I'm looking for, Sam. A lover. That's the final product that we're after. Is I want a pure product at the end. What is that? Love. Did you know that love is the fulfilling of the law? Love is the fulfilling of the law. All that God's ever been after is that you become a lover. How many want that? How many desire that? Okay, so when I'm here in chair 4, I'm born again. Eternal life. I have eternal life. I have God's Holy Spirit living in me. I didn't feel that. I don't care if you feel it. Well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Well, I don't even know if I want that. Yeah, well, you have to have it. I mean, that's what it is. If you don't have that, you perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, this one, in Me, shall what? Shall not perish. You're not going to perish, but you will have everlasting, eternal, Zoein Aionios. Everlasting life. So this is not just a one-time event. I'm born again. I'm saved. Oh, birth is nothing. How many know if you brought a baby home, put it in the middle of the floor and said to the baby, the refrigerator's over there, your bedroom is over there, take care of yourself, I birthed you. How many know that's not what God's doing? He's not just birthing you. He wants to then train you and teach you and take you through until you're not just looking like Him, baby, but you're also acting like Him. I mean, no, that's the hard part. Judah, how are you doing? You pretty much acting the way they want you to act? Yeah? That's good. That's a good boy. Did you ever spank him? A few times? Yeah. That's good. That's the way to do it. One day.
One a day.
One a day. Yeah, just in case he needs it. But it takes discipline. I mean, no, that's the part we hate. We hate discipline. We don't mind being born again, but we want everything to go our way the whole rest of the time. But it doesn't go that way. He wants to kill off your old man, number one, and number two, if you've got one of those. So that you now just have nothing left but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. So it's just all the fruits of the Spirit. That's what Jesus wants. That's His church. That's the bride He's looking for and coming back for. He's going to marry that church.
Amen.
So this is exciting. This is powerful. How can I just preach on this and then have anything happen? I don't do it. I quit working. As soon as I got to this chair, I stopped working. Because in this spiritual life, you don't labor. He does.
Amen.
He does everything. And he takes you through this to make sure you don't do anything, so that you then can become a lover just like him and represent him on this earth. A love affair where you're so in love with Jesus that he's your whole life. He is. He is my whole life. I don't want anything else. If I drop dead right now, I'm happy. I'm not looking for anything. I don't need anything. I don't need to have more degrees or more anything. I'm completely, totally, 100% happy in my marriage, happy in my church, happy with my enemies. I love it. I have awesome enemies. They're this great. How many know that everything is going my way? Why? Because I'm not part of this world. I'm not worried about this world. I don't have any fears. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love, his, for me, not mine. His perfect love for me, I don't have anything to be afraid of. I know I'll be able to make it all the way because I trust him, who for the joy that's set before him endures the cross. Here. Not his cross. Here, he died for me. Here, I die for him and for others. And here, I live. Totally out of love. Well, I hope you're blessed today.